You're listening to Marketing and Mocktails with Manal Sampat, a previously recorded Facebook Live episode inside the group Marketing and Mocktails with Manal, where dental professionals discuss, share, and learn about dental marketing. Manal Sampat is an entrepreneur, speaker, healthcare provider, and enthusiastic shoe lover. She's been featured in the Huffington Post, Dentistry IQ, Forbes, the Guinness Book of World Records, and more. Join her as she discusses marketing, team, business growth, with other industry experts. And if you'd like to receive 10 ways to improve your marketing today, simply text the word resources to 38470.
Ooh. Here we go. Everybody come on and headbang. Welcome to New Jersey.
Welcome to Jersey. Hey, guys. Hello, 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 hello. Who's watching us live right now? Hi, we already have viewers coming in. Hello, if you're watching us live, join us in the headbang because I have, it's me, another New Jerseyan. Am I a New Jerseyan anymore? I don't know.
You know what? Well, once a Jersey girl, always a Jersey girl at some point.
Like, does it matter? Does it ever go away? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a global citizen, right? Because I've lived too many places where I was in, I was born in India, raised in the Virgin Islands, lived in New Jersey. Now I'm living in Washington State. Hi, guys. If you're watching, tell us who you are. Tell us where you're watching from. Tell us hello. This is going to be a very, very fun episode of Marketing and Mocktails. And I have with me an amazing guest. Dorothy is absolutely incredible. I got to know Dorothy when I was in, Jumpstart.
Jumpstart.
That's right, isn't it? I saw you, I met you at Jumpstart, and it was after dinner, and I think I kind of came and sat down at your table, and we talked about everything.
We did. We talked about your life and your marriage and how it all came to be and being a Jersey person. So yeah,
isn't that insane that happens that way?
But that's what I love. I think that's the fun thing about going to places like that, because you get to meet people that you would not normally meet. One of the things that I said that was so great about Jumpstart was that everybody there had a story, something that they felt passionate about. And so when you were sitting there and you were meeting people, it wasn't the usual garbage conversations. It was, no, you know,
it was
like
real.
There were a lot of real conversations, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
I really enjoyed it too. I think that's probably one of my best conferences.
Yeah.
And then I met you at one of my other favorite conferences just last weekend.
Yes.
Or this past weekend, not even last week.
It hasn't even been a week.
I have lost track of time. But
I'm with you.
You know, and we just met again because we were at Jasmine Haley's Beyond the Profi.
Yeah.
And what an incredible time we had then.
Yeah. It caused you, and I think it's think beyond the profi. And so that it challenges you to think about more. Whether it is, I'm a clinical hygienist. I will always be a clinical hygienist in my heart and in my soul until my hands give up. I will still be working clinical hygiene. But that doesn't mean that there isn't other avenues for me to explore too. So going there gets me to think about it and look at things in a different way.
You know, it's absolutely true where I feel that so many of us hygienists, we always try to, I don't know, I feel like we kind of are our own worst enemy because we want to do everything, and everything is not always possible.
Yes. I'm with you on that. I feel that I am the living person for that commercial squirrel, because I'm interested. It's like, oh, wait a minute. What is this? Let me learn about this. Let me learn about that. I just find that. And so I think that in some ways we limit ourselves. And then in other ways, I think that for the most part, hygienists are lifelong learners. I believe that's in the core of the personalities of people who go into that field, and our profession promotes that. And so I think that, you know, there are just so many things and trying to figure out, trying to hone in on the areas that you want to be are important.
You know, I see we have a couple. Hi, Janice. How are you?
Yes.
Hello, hello. Super happy to see you too here, miss. This is exciting. This is so much fun. Well, you know, Dorothy, I mean, this is a show about marketing and mocktails. By the way, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking. I don't really like alcohol. I've never liked the taste of alcohol, so I don't even do a mocktail. I'm doing tea. Awesome. Tea. Oh, nice. What kind of tea are you drinking?
So this is a special oolang tea. Yeah, so it's delicious. It's oolang with rose petals in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we have a really cool tea place where I live. And
the name of it, is it Tao of Tea?
No. It's like a local, local sunshine tea place or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a local person who you go in and you can select the different teas and they mix it up like similar to Tijuana when Tijuana was there.
Okay.
And existed, but it was actually really cool. And they make some really good, cool tea for us. And it's like a cleanse tea. So it also helps you when you drink it at night, it also helps you cleanse. So I think it's kind of cool. And
I figured I was going to go big. I don't do black tea very much anymore, but I figured this was like my big night. So I have some Assam tea, which is my favorite. I like the Tao of Tea, I think, which is out by you. I get some. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Robin.
I get some tea shipped in from there, and it's a golden tip Assam. And for me, it's you know, when people talk about wine and they sit down with their wine, for me, that's what tea is. And this is like my ultimate indulgence. I don't do the black tea very often. So when I do, it's a treat.
You know, I do the same thing. I have this, and this is becoming into a tea conversation, but I love it. If you guys are watching, hi, Anne. You're
marketing
just in a cup of tea.
Oh, hi, Anne.
Hello.
You know, had a cup of tea too.
Yeah. Good. She's like, I just had a cup of tea, but Anne, I see champagne glasses, not tea. that's all good though. All good in this world. Yeah. But
anything that works.
You know, one of the cool things that I like about this tea place, right? Talking about this tea place, is this ability for us to go in and create our own kind of a mix. And, you know, there are many tea places, let's face it. I even did a tea and chocolate tasting when I was in Portland at the Smith Tea House. And that was, I was in heaven. It was absolutely delicious. It was absolutely awesome. But the reason I like to go to this local tea place is not just because of the ingredients that they have, but it's also for the people who are working there. And I think it becomes a huge part of how we shop. And, you know, you decide to shop at places where you feel comfortable, or you decide to shop at places where you know that you can go in and you can have an authentic conversation without the crazy fakeness of things going on. And this is one of those places. And I know, Dorothy, that, you know, your journey has been quite authentic. You are a lifelong learner and you are really passionate about mission work and mission trips.
Yeah, I travel with teams that do cleft lip and palate reparative surgery. And in the past 10 years, I've done 17 missions. I've been to Bangladesh 4 times, China 5 times, I think it might be 6. I've been to Myanmar 2x. The Philippines, Rwanda, Zimbabwe, Cameroon, Nigeria. I just got back from Guatemala. It was our first time to Central America. Yeah. So if I could do it 24/7, that would be where I would be.
But how does one find, and you know, while it all sounds amazing, right? While it all sounds, you're traveling the world and you're doing all these mission trips. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
I have lived in India and I know some of these countries and I've been to some of these countries and it's not like you're going into luxury.
No, although you know what, it's really interesting. When I was in Rwanda, I had a dental bus that had been donated to Rwanda from the Italian government, and I have to tell you, Italian dental chairs and setups are pretty amazing. This was, I wish I had something so nice in my home practice. But yeah, I think that it definitely takes a certain type of personality to do a mission, to be able to step out into something, because you really generally have no idea what you're walking into, to work with people that have never had any kinds of dental care in their life. and to not be able to speak. I'm if you're playing charades, you want me on your team. I am really good at charades because I've had to do that because I've been on some missions where I don't have somebody to translate. And right. So I need to do my best way to educate people and through charades.
Well, so, you know, here's an interesting thing. So when you, well, first of all, tell us how you got into that.
What happened is that this is a small organization. Alliance for Smiles is a small organization out of San Francisco. And it was started by five people who had been past Rotary Club presidents that got together and started this group. And so a lot of their funding, a lot of their support comes from Rotarians. And it just so happened that one of the patients that came into my practice in New Jersey was a Rotarian whose group was helping to fund one of their missions. And so she brought this idea because she said they're always looking for hygienists. And for me, that was something that was unusual. The idea that a medical group recognized the value of what a dental hygienist does and were looking to have them be on their teams. And so I mentioned to you earlier, I kind of jump into things without really knowing anything what I'm doing. I just sort of trust that life will be, you know, it'll work. So I ended up going to Bangladesh. I didn't know anybody on the team. I knew nothing about where I was going. And I got there and it was just amazing. It was a lot of work. I always say I'm a far better clinical hygienist from having done missions, only because I've had to work really hard on missions. My practice in New Jersey, it is in an affluent community. I have people who are pretty good with doing their home care. So I don't have these extensive cases that I need to work on. And when you get into Bangladesh and you have somebody that's been chewing betel nuts their whole life, you it's definitely are gonna be working. Yeah, so I jumped in and that was it. I was sold. So I pretty much have done two missions a year, most years. And
wow.
And then I just came back. This was my first one that I did in Guatemala. It was the first one that I did in a couple of years because I ended up going back and getting my bachelor's degree. And I then literally went from Saturday graduating with the bachelor's to Monday starting the master's program at Phones. And I went on a couple of missions that first year that I was in that graduate school. And I just found that it was too much. I didn't feel that I was doing I wasn't doing the type of work or putting in everything in either place. Somebody's from Bangladesh. I love Bangladesh. It's such a place in my heart. People will say, oh my gosh, you've been to Bangladesh, you know, wasn't it hard? And I love Bangladesh. The people there were amazing. I took a year off and then I was scheduled to go on a mission to China last year. And then right before that team went out, they found out that another group had gone to that area. And you just can't really bring a whole team in if there's not going to be work for them. Financially, it just doesn't work.
Right. And you know what I think also understand, we also have Janice. So yeah. Sidra says she's found from Bangladesh. Janice says that, oh, she's been to Africa.
Yeah. I talked with Janice about that at Thinking Beyond the Profi this past weekend, because it was something that she just loved. It was, and I think that's it. I think once you get there, Hi, Nicole. I think once you get out there and you see the value of what you're doing, to be able to touch some people that have not had an opportunity to ever have somebody talk to them about their oral health and about the connection between oral health and systemic health, which we know is so important. It's so rewarding because you'll see people soaking it up. And one of the things that I've found works really well for me is that generally most of the people that we're working on are kids. We do work on some adults, but most of our patients are kids. I'll talk with the families and do oral health care with the whole family and teach them all about how to take care of their teeth from birth to old, and how to be aware of the foods and diets of what they're eating. But one of the things that I've learned is that I'll say to the mothers, so I want you to really pay attention to what I'm saying, because this is going to be your job. When you go back home to your village, they're not going to have the opportunity of having this time with me. So you're going to be the teacher now. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, giving them that responsibility and that focus, and it's very important. And they listen and they ask questions and they become very engaged. So it's important, because some of these areas, the condition of people's oral health is just frightening.
It is. And
they don't get the care.
They don't get the care because the care is not there.
No, I did with Mary Jensen, who's a hygienist out of Illinois. We spoke at ADHA this past year on how to get involved in doing missions. And one of the things is that there's like in some of these countries, there's less than 10 dental professionals per million people. I think that's the it was just crazy when you think about it. And so that's my argument for why dental hygienists are important to go out on missions, that because of the education that we give, a profi is a profi. You know, you're going to clean that environment up and you're going to get it really wonderful, but they're going to build a plaque as soon as, you know, they walk out of the room again. It's going to keep on going. If you can't get them, empower them to take care of their own mouth, it's important for them to know how important it is for them to do it. You know, that's just it.
Well, and this is kind of, in a way, is beyond profi, because you are going out of your own clinic and your own comfort zone to a different area with a different culture, a different lifestyle, different foods.
Yes.
And you have to convince them, because they have grown up with a very different idea of oral health, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to convince them that this is necessary.
Yeah, and being respectful of their culture.
And being respectful of their culture.
Yeah, it's easy for me to come into Myanmar, where really one of the biggest pastimes in the country is betel nut. Well, betel nut, and I remember, I was really excited the first time I saw it, because I remember that from OH-101, sitting there my first month of school, you know, and you hear about betel nut, and I'm thinking this is something like from history, that and chew sticks, like those are just, oh, that's old stuff. And then I go on these missions, and all of a sudden I'm dealing with people who chew betel nut. It's like, oh, this is real. You know, but betel nut.
Dorothy, I think can you guys hear her? I think she kind of froze for a second, because I think she's talking about the betel nut here, but I think she's frozen. So let me just do this. Moonsaurus, hey guys. So I'm going to bring her back in just a second. I'm just going to push refresh and have her come up in just a minute here. Oh, she should be coming in soon. So, you know, something that Dorothy was saying about this, on going on to different cultures and going on to different things, this is the interesting part. What she is just saying right now translates into marketing. So, for example, you know, she's saying about going on to these mission trips, and she's talking about how do I, you know, communicate with these people with a different culture. How do I get them to take oral health seriously? And in a way, that is marketing every day, because marketing means that you need to communicate and bring value to what you have as a service to the potential clients and patients. And the best way to do that is obviously to find a common language and a common ground while being respectful to them. So if you are going to do that, you know, if you are, you know, what Dorothy was saying right now is about going to different countries and working with all these different cultures and people, but that communication is the foundation for marketing. Because if you cannot communicate with your clients, how can you communicate anything that you want to sell? And we have Dorothy back here. Hello. Hey.
Sorry. Hi,
it's
I'm
totally
sorry.
Okay.
I switched to a different network. For some reason, my network went down. So thank goodness for a second network.
Hey, that's totally fine. And guess what? This is technology. This is a live show.
This is mission hygiene. You got to always have something to do.
You always have something to do. And we're already getting a lot of people coming in here, which is awesome. But I was just telling telling them how what you are doing is actually marketing. Because marketing's foundation for conversion is to communicate.
Yeah.
And to communicate in a way where you bring value to your service while being respectful to your patients, you know, norms or to your patients' behaviors. Because if I, you know, I've had patients that are always, you know, would come in, and if they hate flossing and they absolutely hate it, there is no way that I'm going to convince them to floss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I first need to figure out, why do they hate flossing? Is it the daily routine? Is it that they don't know how to actually use the floss properly? Is it that, you know, there has to be something. And we first have to get to the deep root of what is causing them not to do this. And then tell them, this is how we're supposed to do it. Because otherwise, all we are doing is adding to the noise of, I don't like doing this, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I teach clinical hygiene one day a week. And as I'm working with the students, trying to get them to understand that you need to do that. You need to do that motivational interviewing. You need to find mm-hmm. what is going to
right.
cause your patient, what's motivating them, what's going to bring them so that they'll understand, and not to keep on doing the same thing. And then also to be adaptable, to give them something that's going to work. If they're not going to floss, if you're not going to get them to do it, then let's talk about oral irrigation. Let's talk about interdental brushes or the little interdental picks. Like, find something. And I keep on saying to the students, because they're so geared, you know, Stillman's and floss and this, and I keep on saying, okay, so you've got a 7-year-old kid here. Do you really think he's going to be doing Stillman's? You
know, no, but, not.
But it's not that. It's just that I think that they know that that's the best way to be brushing, and so they keep on putting it out there, and so it's just I sit there and I keep on saying, don't worry about the grade, because if any instructor is going to knock you down because you're telling a patient to do phones, let's get them to do what they can do.
Exactly.
And then you can build on it. But if you sit there and throw, I had one student one time have literally 10 different devices that she was telling this patient to do. And I said, he's not doing anything right now. Do you think he's going to pick up and do 10?
Absolutely none. Oh, we got Natalie in the house.
Oh my goodness. Now we gotta get really wild. I don't know.
We gotta bring even more energy into this conversation and even more talk. What's up?
Anybody who has not seen Natalie in person or anywhere, I look for her. I love this woman.
She's awesome. She is absolutely wonderful. She's absolutely awesome. Thank you for joining us live, Natalie. What? You know, so what I was saying, going back to what we were, you know, discussing with this, is you have to find the root cause of why somebody is not doing something, or why they are not accepting that treatment, or why they are not accepting, even from a client perspective, why are they not signing up for that service that you're offering?
Yeah.
Because there is a reason. And instead of overwhelming them with so much, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, and this is how you're going to do it, kind of to take a step back and say, well, where am I missing? Where is the communication lag? Because clearly what you're saying and what they're hearing is not working. And, you know, I think that's a really interesting way, because you have had this experience. You have had this amazing. How many years did you say you've been doing this mission trips for?
I've been doing the mission trips for 10 years.
Wow. So you had 10 years of not just, you know, helping people in America, but throughout the world.
Yeah.
And also some remote areas. Now, here's something. We're going to go deep here. So guys, just FYI, I know we have a lot of people who are watching this Beyond the Profi, and it's good you guys are here, because we're going to do this. We're going to do this right
I'm
now.
Getting ready. Okay.
All right, Dorothy. So we're going to do this live marketing for you right now, based on what we discussed over the weekend, right? So you did you create your new client avatar?
Yes.
Okay. And what is it that you are actually going to be working on?
Well, what I'm working on is I want to present a program, a course for seasoned hygienists. I actually came
like
up with
that.
The name.
Ooh, I already liked it. Seasoned hygienist. You're
so,
already
so here's I came up with the name. A new season for the seasoned hygienist. Okay. A new season for the season hygienist because
okay. Let's just stop a moment there. Did everybody watching this hear this? This is awesome. A new season for the seasoned hygienist. I love it. Continue. Okay.
I thought you were going to say it wasn't good. I was like, oh, I was so proud of that. No,
it's perfect. It's perfect.
Here's the thing. I have been practicing hygiene for 32 years. I went back to school to complete my bachelor's when I've been practicing about 28 years, maybe 27 years. And even though the courses for the bachelor's and then the master's were not clinically focused, I found that all of a sudden I learned so many things that had changed from when I was in hygiene school. And I kind of got this point like, wait a minute, how did I miss this? I read magazines, I go to the classes. How did I not get this information? And then what happened? I'm sorry, I'm kind of tilted. I'm on a pillow to bring my things.
Want me to become tilted too? I can be tilted with you.
So that's
so
it.
Cool. I got this.
But anyway, so I just found that it started me thinking about it. And then one semester I had to do student teaching, and I'm sitting in the first day of lecture, or maybe it was the second day of lecture. And the director gets up there and she says, well, we used to teach dental hygienists this, but now we know that's not the best protocol. And so we're
like Cavitron and hand scaling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, forget about that. That was, and that's it. When I was in hygiene school, there was one Cavitron unit for the entire clinic. And it was on this big cart and you would roll it out. If you could convince the instructor that you had that patient that was the most Cavitron worthy patient and you got one semester. And it's so funny because somebody else that I spoke with, she called it, oh, well, when I was in school, they said that's the lazy hygienist.
Wow.
And we now know that that's a better method to be using for disrupting that biofilm.
Yes.
So anyway, so here's the thing. The problem is that when I'm out around other hygienists, if I were to say, well, I don't really use the ultrasonics because I did not, you know, learn how to use ultrasonics, there's this instant judgment. And so I think that a lot of us, and I'll say seasoned hygienists, what we find is that you're afraid to say something. You're afraid to ask a question. You're afraid to do it because you don't want to be judged and thought of as not a good hygienist.
Right.
I just find I'll go to meetings and I'll ask questions. And then later on, other hygienists will come up and say, oh, I'm so glad you asked that because I wanted to know that, but I was afraid to ask. I don't worry about being thought to not know something. I'm okay with asking stupid questions. I don't have problems with that. I think we were talking earlier. One of my main motivating things in life is education. I love learning for the sake of learning. So I don't care about not knowing something and speaking up about it. So as I was going through that, all of a sudden I started thinking that wouldn't it be good to have a course that isn't going into all the details? I'm not going to teach you how to use an ultrasonic, but I am going to tell you the reason why you should be learning. And here's where you can go and get a hands-on course doing ultrasonics, because that's the other thing, is that there are all of these techniques or different kinds of therapies. But for example, I realized I should be using the ultrasonic, I didn't really know how to use it. And I was afraid to use it because then I was afraid, am I going to hurt a patient? And it spirals and spirals. So my thought was to have a course that would be a resource for seasoned hygienists. So that way they could sit there and say, you know what? I do work in a practice where there are lots of implants. I really need to go to that implant, the implant care therapist. No, what is it? Implant care specialist. Practitioner. Implant care practitioner. I'm sorry. This is, you know what? Sorry if this is too much information. For some people, menopause is hot flashes. For me, I lost words. This is as real as it gets.
This is real. Okay? Listen, this is real, and you are doing fantastic. Yeah. You are absolutely doing fabulous. Guys, is this one of your first lives?
This, yes.
Is this the first live?
I've done little ones, but not a
real. Yeah, because you did them in my group. I remember you did them in my group, and you actually won that too.
I did.
Yes, you won the live.
I went on and did that little thing. Yes.
But so, guys, this is our first official live in the real world. So if you're watching this, please make sure you give her some hearts and some likes, because clearly she's doing awesome, and I think you are doing incredible.
Well, and thank you, and thank you, because this is stepping completely out of my comfort zone, because saying this means that it's real, and it means that I have to now actually go out and push for it, and that's
you're going to have to do it.
That is so tough. That is so tough.
No, nope,
so,
but you have a deadline.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah. You have a deadline, and you're just going to get it done.
Yeah, you gave me a list of things to do, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to do it because of working every day before this. But I did actually contact two people who are involved with products that I would definitely be talking about as I was doing it. And so it's a connection. One does not help to sponsor people with speaking, but that's okay, because there will be one and it's there. Oh, thank you, Robin. You're very sweet. Guys, you guys are wonderful. I don't know. Can we just stay here all the time so that you can tell me how great I am? I could use it.
Do you see why I do the live show? Do you
see this? This is fun. I don't know, Manal. I might be a third party in your thing every week.
Why not? Right? People always tell me that, and they're like, but you're doing a live show and isn't it scary? Yes. I mean, yeah, Facebook has 1 billion daily active users. And yes, people will see this. And yes, they'll still be converted into a YouTube channel and a podcast. And
wait, I didn't know all that. I just thought this was live and then we were done.
This stays forever. There are ways that we keep this content forever. But, you know, going back to you said some really, really incredible things, right? So the first thing that, you know, I think about all the time is, and I get asked all the time, is because as a marketing person, people come to me, and a lot of my clients are in the golden age. I call them the golden age. And, you know, they have lived through so much. They have done wonderful things. But now they are like in this technological world, and they're like, what? Like, what do you mean I have to do a live show? Or what is the selfie thing, right? Or what do you mean there's this YouTube video thing? Like, it's very confusing. Yeah. And in a similar way, it's like what you said, you know, a course for a new season for a seasoned hygienist. But it's so incredible the way you said it, because what I am hearing is that we have all these people who have the experience, who can probably do a fantastic job because they have lived through a lot of things. And the only scary part is the technology.
Yeah.
Right? And the updates. But as soon as you learn about that technology, as soon as you embrace that technology, or as soon as you figure out how can you use it, you know, for yourself to better yourself, things become easier.
Yeah, I think definitely my generation, I think that I'm actually a millennial in an older lady's body, because I love technology. I love to play with things. It's a yes. And what is a podcast? I love it. I have to tell you, I have to tell my students about podcasts, and I'm just like, come on, what is up with this? I don't understand it, but that's okay. I think too, the other thing that I see is that at least, okay, hygienists like me,
yes,
working in a small practice,
yes,
one dentist, I'm the only hygienist there at a time. There's nobody to have these conversations with. And so when something comes out, you may not be aware of it. So, and just for example, silver diamine fluoride. Now, this isn't anything new, but the past couple of years, it got in the news. It was in the New York Times. And so people became a little bit aware of it. As a mission hygienist, it's something that I use. It's an important thing for us, because a lot of my missions, there is not a dentist. At least I am able to treat a patient, arrest the decay, to hopefully allow them to keep that tooth until it exfoliates without creating more disease in their mouth. Twice now I've spoken about it, and I've had people be like, what was that thing that you talked about? And then I was sitting with a group of educators and I mentioned it. And I was saying, I think in the state of New Jersey, we should be teaching this in our schools, because it is in the scope of practice for a hygienist in New Jersey to use silver diamine fluoride. And certainly when we're in dental hygiene clinics, where we have patients that are coming in because they don't have dental insurance. They're not, they're coming in every 6 months and there's decay that's there. Why can't we do a silver diamine fluoride to treat it until they can get there? I just think that that's something we should be doing. And these people that I was talking with were like, what are you talking about? So they, and that's my thing. It's that there's so much information out there. And I think a lot of us miss it if you're not in an environment where there is that conversation going on. Where yeah. it's there. And so I just really would like, and again, I think hygienists want to learn. So I'd like to have this program so that I'll get up there, I'll start talking. And I think one of the things that I had said, that was one of the quotes, you know, my goal would be to walk into a room and give my presentation and have nobody learn anything, because I'd like to have them all know this stuff and be using it. But unfortunately, I don't think that happens, you know?
No. There's always yeah, but something. You know what? But the thing is, you are, there is a lot of passion there, right? So you're yeah. going to be doing this and you're going to, I think you're going to make some big splash, but I want to move on to the implementation. I'm not letting you off the hook here.
Oh, come on.
No, no.
Let me talk about
something
else.
No, it's not happening. It's okay. not happening. We are, right. we are staying true. We are
good.
Staying
okay,
true
let's,
here.
Good. This is
so
this
we
is
have a course. We yeah. have a course. We have an avatar for the course. Mm-hmm. We know what we are going to say, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously our marketing is going to follow through and we are going to attract the seasoned hygienist. Mm-hmm. who are unaware for so many of these things going on in the practices or in, not in the practices, but the in the new updated hygiene world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about deadlines.
Okay. I hate deadlines.
Nope. You're gonna love them. You Good. Are going okay. to love deadlines right. moving forward because that means you're getting things done.
All right. So, I have my book and I have my paper because...
You knew this was going to happen, didn't you?
I knew it was going to happen. and I'm on the laptop, so I can't put it into my computer right now. So All I'll right. write it on
so
paper. And
we are
then-
going to create a live implementation strategy. So you okay. have already done your job. You already created a new client avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Done, right? You yep. said you reached out to one person?
Mm-hmm. I two people.
Okay, two people who where you can give the course or two sponsors?
Two people for sponsoring, and I spoke with one person. Oh, I hear pickleball there. I'm sorry. Ooh. Anyway, so I have one person that we spoke with at the conference
yes.
that would be interested in having yes. me come and speak. So now it's to try to find people to support me financially so that I can go and do that.
Yes. Perfect. So you already reached out to one study group or one place that you can speak at, and you're going to bring sponsors that can help you get there.
Yes. That's okay. that's the goal.
So we are in October right now. We are mid-October, mm-hmm. and then we have till the end of the year. Your yes. goal is going to be to reach out and to confirm at least, so you're going to reach out to two more study clubs or conferences, wherever you want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to confirm at least one of them. By end of the year, I want to get a phone call from you on December 31st and say, Manal, you won't believe it. I'm speaking next year at this place. I got the sponsors and I'm doing this.
Okay.
Can we do that?
We could do that. I could do that.
You could do that. You could do that in your sleep.
I could
do that. It's an easy goal. You got 2.5 months.
Yes.
2.5 months, right? So, but that 2.5 months means that hopefully the conversation you had already with the sponsors and the one, and then you're going to confirm one more. So you're going to have two confirmed speaking engagements for next year.
Okay.
Okay. Now it doesn't stop there, does it? So you speak, then what?
I go home and I sleep. Then I got to speak more and I got to make another course.
And you have to make another course and you have to keep going, and that's fine. But realistically, what are your expectations from your audience?
My expectations from my audience, hopefully that they'll walk away at least embracing something new.
Okay. So they're going to walk away at least embracing something.
Oh, and then they're going to talk about me and say how much they enjoyed so that even when I'm not in the room, I'm in the room. And then I'm going to get booked because I listened over
That's
the
right.
weekend to Natalie. And so I'm going to be in the room.
That's right. That's right. Now, here's the thing, right? So think about this. So when I spoke, when Natalie spoke, you know, yeah. we come in with a goal in mind. What do we mm-hmm. want of our audience to take out of this? What is mm-hmm. it that they can implement the next day?
Yeah.
And that's why when I was saying that you got a to-do list, you have to do these things, you have to move on, and this is why we are doing implementation. So in that same way, you need to, in your presentation, have tangible things that people yeah. can do.
Yeah.
No, like what are they going to do?
Oh, what they are? Well, tangible things that they can do are, again, book.
So here's something they can do, right? A tangible thing, if you have a hygienist who's in the course and you are talking about something or the other, so whatever it is that you're talking about, either they already have it in the practice mm-hmm. or they need to have a discussion with the dentist to have it mm-hmm. in the practice, correct?
Yes.
So why not make that into a list and okay. give them well, exact well, things
like have, to me, one of the things would be to have to contact the company to have them come in and do a lunch and learn. So that way
Love it.
They can get so a why, handle on it.
So why not? Like, you know, when I finished speaking with you guys, I said, you're going to create a new patient, you know, a new client avatar. Yeah. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. This is how you're going to get it up there. So in that same way, I want you to create a tangible, here's what I need to do list. Mm-hmm. Because if you leave it out and you hope for them to do it, they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because life, and we all feel overwhelmed and we come in and we feel super excited. We go back and then life happens. So yeah. I want them to make whatever you're saying a part
yeah.
of their to-do list, a part yeah. of their life. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
Okay. So now let's say that they do that. Let's say they have to create a to-do list, right? What mm-hmm. about a way to contact you or a call to action?
My email.
So, okay. So you have an email address, yeah. right? You have a Facebook page, right? Like
yes.
how I told you guys, you know, become friends with me on Facebook. This is the best way yeah. to be directly in contact with me because this is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm looking at all the messages. You need to provide them a way to be in touch with you.
Okay.
Okay. I think you're doing great. I am so excited for you.
I'm excited. This is scared Why? To death, but excited. Why? Well, because it's stepping out of the comfort. And this is the thing is that we, you know, I'm very comfortable being a clinical hygienist. I'm really right. good at what I do. My patients, I know them. I know my job. I'm getting very confident in my teaching but that was the last thing that I stepped out of. Even I think that the way that I was raised, it was to always be very humble, quiet, out of the limelight, let other people, you know, support other people and help them go. And so all of this challenges a lot of those things that I just had in my head from growing up. And
but,
it's
but you're
and
doing
it's
the same
it, but it's a good thing
but
to do
are
it.
And you're still doing it. You're supporting the people. You're still yeah. making it about them.
Yeah.
Right. All you're doing is you're
good sending.
You are not. This is exactly what you have been believed to raise. The only slight difference is that you are in the teacher role.
Yeah.
It's still about them.
Yeah.
It's still about supporting them.
Yeah.
It's still about having them grow as, you know, whatever it is, hygienist, you know, having them really level up their skill, having mm-hmm. them having a place for them in the industry because they're seasoned yeah. hygienists and you don't yeah. want them to be left behind. So yeah. you are actually doing exactly
yeah.
what it is. The only thing that has changed is you're a teacher and you are a teacher already, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you teach?
Yes, I do.
So it's the same thing. So there is
yeah.
nothing really to be scared of.
No, it's not really that it's scary. It's just, it's uncomfortable.
It is
and yeah. but I'm really loving. Nicole, I love you. I love you. Yeah. So it is. It's one of those things where you know you have to be comfortable getting uncomfortable, and it's fun because that's where growth comes. And I can see that, and I can see that with people I know that I've watched go through this and do it. And so. It's just something different, and that's okay.
It is.
You know, I certainly have jumped in and done a lot of different things, And so this is just one more of them. And I appreciate your helping me to get the focus so that way I can.
You got it. I think, right, this is what I like to do. So I think that you doing the focus and actually moving forward, and look at that, you already have people lining up. I think I need to level up your goals here. I think by the time we hang up today, you're going to be like, I got two confirmed speaking engagements. And I'm going to be like, damn, you were good for 2.5 months. Maybe we should level that up a little bit. Yeah. Maybe we should try and increase that just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. But, you know, this is, again, you know, with marketing and Moxa with Manal, we do have to talk a little bit about marketing. But, again, this is something that I value in you, is that you are not scared of trying.
Yeah.
Implementation.
I'm learning that, you know, it doesn't hurt. The worst that can happen, it doesn't hurt. The worst that happened is it doesn't work.
I mean, like I said, I always quote The Hangover, but did you die?
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but I do know the quote.
You know, it's one of those things where I get it. And I have been in some, you know, I mean, everybody watching probably knows the story I shared when I started my speech with you guys about toothbrushes.
Yeah.
And what happened, they're going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen and things are going to go crazy. It's just a part of who we are. But that's human.
Yeah. And I think that most people recognize that. I think it's harder when it's you, you know, you made that mistake and people were shitting toothbrushes, we all found that adorable, where you were dying.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's the perspective. So
it is the perspective. And again, it's not the situation, but how you react to it.
Yeah. I remember when my kids were little, my daughter, 1 year was one of the angels for the nativity story on Christmas Eve. And I think she was about 3 or 4 at the time. And my little angel ran laps around the sanctuary, and I was dying because she was supposed to be up there, you know, waving her hands and being an angel. And she was running laps literally around the sanctuary around 3 or 4 times before we could catch her. And I was dying. And yet everybody in the congregation were like, that was their favorite thing. And I was ready to kill the kid. So I try to keep that in mind. It's all perspective. And so that when I'm embarrassed or having a hard time, it's like, you know what, this is nothing to anybody else. It just get over yourself.
It isn't. And you know, there are things going to happen. I just recently had 2 weekends ago, I was speaking in Salt Lake City and I spoke for 2 days at a big conference, and I go and we, you know, got there early. They checked my sound system. They checked my PowerPoint. Life was great. Everything was working. I go to speak, I start speaking, and one slide in, everything dies. Like, it just dies. Now, I can make a big deal about it and say, oh my God, my PowerPoint is not working anymore. Mm-hmm. Or you just say, all right, well, technology wins today. And you continue your talk. Yeah. But that led me to more and more talks without a PowerPoint, because I realized in that moment that I don't need a PowerPoint to tell me my information or my topic. I already know my content. I know what I'm saying. So I could have made a big deal about it and be like, oh no, everything stopped. Why did, like, literally I was on a huge stage. Both the sides of the screens went blank. Like, it just went blank. And even the guy was like, oh my gosh, what happened? Right. Yeah. And this is like hundreds of people sitting there. Mm-hmm. And again, I was just like, well, I guess technology wins today. And you just continue your talk. And it things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And it sucks when they happen. I mean, there is no denying that. Let's just face it. It sucks.
Yeah.
When they happen. But in the big worlds and in the scheme of things, it's a very tiny, tiny, tiny dot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that is, you know, certainly the benefit of becoming more seasoned in life. You know, it's you definitely start to realize that it's not such a big thing. Although I'm still not up to doing karaoke. I still can't get past that. I have a voice that could rival Frog's. And
I have a horrible voice too. Mm-hmm. So here's
I've done it a couple of times in China, but I've done songs that were more like talk song. Mm. And I've learned that Don't Worry, Be Happy is not a good karaoke song because it goes on for hours and you're just standing there. So you can sit, you can speak it, but you just keep on going. It's horrible.
Well, yeah. So here's another example. So I'm horrible, horrible at singing. And I, for whatever reason, earlier this year at the Hinman, I was at the Hinman in Atlanta. And did you see that? I was the Hinman in Atlanta, and I was doing a live interview with John Stamper and somebody else. And I'm like, let's do something fun. And the next thing I know is I'm like, let's play Sweet Caroline, right? So we started it with Sweet Caroline, and I, you know, we had sponsors in front of us, and they're like trying to reach hands to us, you know, reaching hands, and we are trying to reach hands. This is how we started the show. It was hilarious. It was one of those things where people are cracking up laughing online because they know I can't sing. And, you know, we had people trying to, you know, touch hands and stuff like that. So it became really funny. So I was in San Diego in October at another conference, and we had the same video crew there. So they were like, let's do, you know, we are doing another live interview. And I'm like, well, they're like, we have to do a song again because, you know, that's what we did last time and it worked really well. So then I chose a Journey's Don't Stop Believing. Uh-huh. And I grabbed a bunch of people as well. And I'm like, you guys need to come in and help singing and doing this awesome stuff. And this video is on my wall somewhere. So that video plays. And again, we get shushed. Like they literally came out of the room and shushed us because that's how bad I sounded. Plus I think we were loud, but they came and they shushed us. And then I continue. This is a live show. So you see somebody coming in and shushing us while we are doing Sweet Caroline. Like,
oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
Right. So they're shushing us. And then I continue and I'm like, oh, I guess we're sounding so horrible. They have two shushes. And
no, you were so good that they weren't paying attention to the speaker.
But we finished singing. And as soon as the live video ends, I get an email from a meeting planner that I was speaking at a week after and says, hey, Manal, we just saw your live video. We thought it was hilarious. And I know you're speaking here for both the days. We would love to give you a booth for free, a table for free. And we would love for you to do live videos and do like karaoke and all that fun stuff.
Oh, that's great.
But do you see how it went from being touched on a live video at a major conference to a meeting planner saying, we're just going to give you a table.
This is great.
This is great, right? So I always, there is always a little bit of silver lining.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything, whether you learn from it or not, whether it's entirely positive or not, you learn from everything.
And then again, I had another song happening, but I'm going to talk about failure tomorrow on Facebook because that also happens. It doesn't always work out the way you want it to.
Well, I don't know. When I have a 3-year-old say to me, you know, Miss F, how come it sounds so funny when you sing it? You know that it's bad. But that's it.
You own up to it, right?
What I said to her is, you know, that doesn't seem to be one of my gifts, but I believe in a God who creates miracles. And when I sing, it sounds really good to him. So, you know, that's it.
I think that's hilarious. I absolutely love that. All right. Well, we are hitting that mark. I think, I know. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. Easy? Yeah, that it is really easy. You're easy to talk to, though.
No, but this is easy, right? Yeah. Like, and you even had a glitch, and you went off for a couple of seconds.
That's it.
And you came right back.
I thank goodness for another site. I don't know, for another network. That was it.
Well, it all worked out.
It all worked out.
Right. It all worked out.
And I have a plan of action, and I'm ready to take on the world.
You are,
and do some speaking.
All the viewers who are watching. So my show got booked for the entire year earlier this year. And Dorothy booked this show, I don't know, months in advance? I'm not sure.
I think we booked this like in February because I had met you in January at Jumpstart 2019. And, you know, you said, oh, you know, contact me, I'll do it. And so I contacted you and you're like, okay, well, I don't have any time open until September. I was like, oh, okay. And then September starts getting close. And then I realized that I got on this team going to Guatemala. So it was like, and that's when I was supposed to speak with you. And so then we just moved this back.
Right. So, you know, we actually got scheduled completely in January for the entire year.
Yeah.
So I had to open some dates and, you know, all that stuff. But here's a cool thing about this, right? So I saw you this weekend, mm-hmm. and my team had told me they hadn't received your information yet. So I reached out and I said, hey, what's going on? Where's your information about the show? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I don't know about the show. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I have anything to share.
Yeah.
I think you had a lot to share.
Well, thank you. You brought it out.
No, I want to give where credit is due. You had a lot to share.
Thank you. This goes back to what I said to you before we were on, which was that issue of just at Beyond the Profi, Think Beyond the Profi conference, we did a, driving forces.
Oh, driving forces.
And,
yeah.
And so it is that my one of my strong ones is intellectual, which means that I thrive on information and education, and I never feel that I have enough of it to speak. So thank you for bringing this out on me and making me feel comfortable.
I think you did fantastic, and you should do more live shows.
Okay.
Just putting it out there in the universe.
Okay.
Putting it out there.
More live shows, please.
More live shows, more live shows.
You know what? If you have a night and somebody doesn't show, give me a call. You might see me in my real true. I've just played.
I think this has been a great journey from you literally going 3 days ago telling me that I don't know if I should be on your show too. Give me a call whenever you have
anytime.
Just tell me and I'll hop on. This is a live show.
It's fun. Thank you so much. I truly cannot thank you enough. You have certainly given me a lot of inspiration and some motivation and some deadlines. So now I have to work. I don't, and that's what I need, because if I don't have a deadline, I can play all kinds of games in my head with things. Yes. So the deadline helps.
The deadline is a good thing to have.
Yes.
And, you know, you wake up to certain things, like there are certain affirmation quotes that I wake up to, which I need mm-hmm. at a certain time, and they just really help me. So one of the things that I also tell myself is you are your own roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just move away and let things happen with the universe, mm-hmm. it's going to get so much easier.
That's it.
So, you know, that totally works out. Well, thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, truly. And thank you guys all for coming and being a part of it. I appreciate it.
And just so you know, people,
I'm going to be contacting those people who said, oh, you know, you're going to come and speak to yours. And I'm going to have to talk to, who is it, Tia, so I can play pickleball with her aunt. Although I don't play pickleball very well. Today it was like they were fighting to not have me on their team. It's so sad.
But they love you anyways.
Anyway, thank you.
That's all right. Okay.
All good night, guys. Everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.